Welcome to New Life Assembly of God's Media Ministry. We are glad that you are here. We believe the Word of God is relevant and life-changing, and hope that you will be blessed by this message.
Praise the Lord. If you'll take your scriptures in hand and turn with me to Matthew 18, we're going to read verses 22 through 35. This is our last message in our series on forgiveness, freedom for your soul. And this morning, we're going to talk about the actual process of forgiveness. Because sometimes we're told you need to forgive, but we really don't know how to let those things go and walk in the freedom God has for us. So we're going to talk about the process of forgiveness this morning. One writer, in speaking about the need to forgive, encouraged the readers to imagine themselves enjoying a picnic in the park. And as you're walking to your family's table, you trip over a rock, you fall down, and you cut your arm. You brush yourself off, you wipe away the blood, you put a Band-Aid on, and you go about your day and enjoy the picnic. A few days pass, and you notice the wound is not healing. In fact, it's turning red, it's getting worse, you're having fever, your arm is very tender to the touch, and you even begin to feel nauseous. Why? Because that little wound on your arm is infected, and it's starting to affect your whole body. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
Affect your whole body. And when someone even brushes against your arm or touches it in a slight way, a sharp pain shoots through your whole body. And you begin to snap at the people close to you or clam up all together because you're in such pain. You need help. If you're going to heal, the infection needs to go. If the infection is not removed, it is just going to spread. Like a physical wound, when our heart gets infected with hurts and offenses, if we don't cleanse our soul of that hurt by extending forgiveness, our heart becomes infected and it begins to affect our entire life. Now, that infection, that hurt in our soul, may not be visible like a physical wound, but that doesn't mean that it will go away on its own. Let me tell you something, it won't. When you have been deeply hurt, when you have been offended, if you don't deal with it, it will not go away on its own. It can't. Just like a physical wound requires attention in order to go through the process of healing, the inner wounds of our heart require attention to go through that process of healing as well. And just like the pain caused by a physical wound, Jesus tells us that anyone who refuses to forgive will experience torment in our soul. That's what he tells us in Matthew 18. We will experience torment, though it may manifest itself differently in each of our lives. In the series, we have been focusing on Matthew 18, one of Jesus's most extensive teachings on forgiveness. And in our previous messages in the series, we have really focused on the negative impacts or the torment of forgiveness, along with the motivation to forgive, why we really need to forgive. If you missed any of those messages, I want to encourage you to jump online, go to our Facebook page or to our YouTube channel, and you can listen to those messages once again. But the fact is that the Lord does not want us to live a life of torment, bound in the prison of unforgiveness, because he teaches us that unforgiveness imprisons us. He wants us to forgive so that we can be set free and so that we can experience the peace and the fullness of joy that he has for us. So he must have not only revealed to us the torment of unforgiveness and the motivation to forgive, but he must have also told us how to forgive, because it's so important. So read with me Matthew 18, and we're going to look at several verses in this passage from verse 22 through 35. Beginning in verse 22, it says, "Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, 'Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?' Jesus answered, 'I tell you, not seven times, but 70 times seven.'" And we talked about this extensively in last week's message. Peter is struggling with Jesus's teaching on forgiveness, as many of us often do. And so he's thinking to himself, there's got to be a limit. We can't just allow people to continue to hurt us, and that's one of the lies that keep us bound, that forgiveness will allow someone to continue to hurt us. And if you are bound by that lie, I want you to listen to the second message in this series, because we talked about that. But he asked, how many times should we forgive? There's got to be a limit. And he suggests 7 times, because that sounds generous, right? Especially since the rabbis of his day said that you were supposed to forgive 3 times. So he's 7 times. That sounds really generous, doesn't it, Jesus? But shockingly, Jesus answers 70 times 7. And again, I've emphasized this throughout the series. That doesn't mean you're going to keep track. And then when you reach 490 times, you say, that's the limit. No, 7 is a number of completeness, as is 70. And so Jesus is saying that we need to forgive everyone, everything, every time. And then he tells a parable to illustrate the high cost of forgiveness. Read with me beginning in verse 23. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had should be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged. I will pay back everything, which was impossible. As we looked in one of our previous messages, it was millions of dollars, and it would have taken more than a lifetime to even touch a drop in the bucket of paying back that debt. So he says, be patient with me, he begged. I'll pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell on his knees and begged him, be patient with me. I'll pay back everything I owe you. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I canceled all the debt of yours because you begged me. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured or tormented. Remember, we said Jesus taught there's torment in unforgiveness. And he's put in jail because unforgiveness imprisons you. It keeps you bound. So he had the jailers handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed, which was really a life sentence because he would never be able to pay it back. And then Jesus says, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. So Jesus is saying, this is not just a story. This story illustrates a spiritual truth of why we need to forgive and how it affects our relationship with the Father. And when you really pay attention to what Jesus is saying here and realize that when we refuse to forgive, we take ourselves out from under the protective grace of God, and he will deliver us to the tormentors, primarily Satan in our case. As Paul tells us that when we hold unforgiveness in our life, what happens? We give territory to the devil. When we hold unforgiveness, it opens the door for the devil to come in and establish a stronghold and torment our life. So we often don't even make the connection between our present sufferings and problems with our past hurts and our refusal to forgive. But the very reason that Jesus calls us to forgive everyone, everything, every time is because he does not want us to live in the torment and bondage that is caused by unforgiveness. So how do we truly forgive? How can we be set free from the prison of unforgiveness? And in this passage, Jesus shows us the essential steps in the process of forgiveness. And really, these steps have been identified by Dr. Bruce Wilkinson. And it's only when we have walked through each of these steps with each person who has hurt us and with each hurt that we have experienced that we will find the freedom and peace that God wants us to walk in. The good news is that the process of forgiveness will work for everyone, everywhere, every time, without exception. So it will work for you, amen? So you can forgive whatever hurt you have experienced, whoever has done that hurt to you. The first step to forgiveness is you've got to open your heart to forgive. So often our heart is closed because we say, if I forgive, they're going to hurt me again. If I forgive, it's going to let them off the hook and they're never going to have to pay for what they did. We have all these reasons why we close our heart. If I forgive and open my heart, I'm going to allow somebody else to come and hurt me, and I don't want to be hurt that way again. Have you ever thought those things? I know you have. If you said no, then I need to give an altar call for sinner, for liars. Amen. Praise the Lord. But what we have to realize this is that wounded hearts are closed hearts. Hear me, wounded hearts are closed hearts. Let's just take a moment to picture what a closed heart looks like. I want you to clench your fists. I want you to cross them across your body and then turn your back to whoever you're sitting next to. That's what a closed heart looks like. You may be right next to that person, but your heart is not open to them. So what does that feel like? What does that feel like? Doesn't that feel like some kind of bondage? Amen? That's what unforgiveness is like. There are many reasons why we may have a closed heart. It could be that someone hurt us all the way back in our childhood, and we mistrust people. We never want to allow anybody to get close to us again to hurt us in that way. It could be a spouse that lied to you or cheated on you, and you never want to be betrayed again like that. It could be a friend that slandered you, a coworker who hurt you, and you close yourself up to protect yourself from not feeling that pain again. When we have been hurt, we tend to put up walls in our heart to protect ourselves from feeling that pain again. So we become closed off people. Closed off people. We don't realize that those walls that we build to protect ourselves are imprisoning us. You put up those walls to keep people out and to keep hurt out, but what you've actually done is you have built a prison for yourself. You have built a prison for yourself. And the walls that are intended to keep out hurt are also keeping out love and joy and peace. Jesus compared unforgiveness to being locked within the walls of a prison. But the irony is that the person who refuses to forgive is the one who is imprisoned. When this man refused to forgive his friend, is when he was put in prison. It was his refusal to forgive that imprisoned him. So how does healing come? Healing starts when we open our hearts to forgive. Because sometimes we've made a mental declaration, I am never forgiving that person. We may not have spoken it out loud, but we have resolved it inside. I'm not forgiving that person. In Matthew 18:35, Jesus says, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you. What? Unless you forgive your brother or sister from where? From your heart. Where does forgiveness come from? From the heart. You see, sometimes we make a decision in the head that we're going to forgive because Pastor Maria preached a series on forgiveness, and so I'm going to forgive because it's the right thing to do. It's what Jesus tells us to do. It's what the Bible says to do. We made that in our mind. But we continue to experience the torment and the bondage of unforgiveness. And we wonder, why? I decided to forgive. Why am I still being tormented? Why am I still in prison? And we say, I have forgiven, because we did so in our mind. But forgiveness is not an issue of the mind. Forgiveness is an issue of the heart. We cannot forgive just with the mind or with the will making a decision to forgive. We need to forgive from the heart. Let me tell you something. You were not hurt in your mind. You were hurt in your heart. And so you need to forgive from the heart. And as long as the wound remains unhealed in our heart, it will continue to fester and infect the entirety of our soul, tormenting us and keeping us in bondage. We were hurt in our heart, and it is our heart that needs to be healed in order for us to be free. So true forgiveness, it does require the mind and our will. It does require our mind receiving the truth that Jesus teaches us that we need to forgive for our own well-being. It does require our will saying, I will forgive, but then it requires our heart. We have to start opening our heart, and we have to pray, and we have to say, God, help me to open my heart to forgive. Help me to open my heart to forgive. So that's the first step. Amen. Second step, extend compassion to those who hurt you. Uh-oh. Matthew 18, verses 25 through 26. But the man fell down before his master and begged him, "Please be patient with me, and I will pay it all." Then his master was filled with, some versions say pity, others say compassion for him, and forgave him his debt. But then when he went out and found his friend that owed him a few dollars, he didn't have any compassion on him, right? He threw him in prison. And so his master called him back in and said, "After you were forgiven of such a big debt, should you not also have had compassion on the person that owed you so little?" Compassion, you see, is the key that opens the door of a closed heart. And in Jesus' story, he actually identifies two different kinds of what's translated as compassion. One kind of compassion is a response to what someone else does. So in the verses we just read, the man who owed this mega-million-dollar debt fell down to the ground before his master. He humbled himself and he cried out and he said, "Please have compassion upon me and I will pay you everything that I owe you." In response, Jesus said the master was moved with compassion and forgave him his debt. Now, the verb compassion in this verse is in the passive voice. Any of you remember your English grammar? Amen. Passive voice means that compassion was the result of something someone else did. It was a response to what someone else did. So the master's compassion was in response to the man humbling himself and saying, "Please have pity on me. I will pay you everything that I owe you." And you know what? When we see that picture, we generally imagine that that is how all forgiveness must take place. The person who hurt us needs to throw themselves down on their knees and they need to beg for their forgiveness and say, "I'm sorry, I did this terrible thing. Please have compassion on me." Isn't that how we picture? And unless they do that, I am not forgiving them. Y'all laughing because you know that's true. Amen. That's how we think. Unless that person who hurt us comes and humbles themselves, grovels on the ground, the more they grovel, the better, and beg for forgiveness, then we may show them compassion. And that's great when it happens, and I don't mean to burst anybody's bubble, but it usually doesn't happen that way. How often have you had somebody come and throw themselves on their knees and plead with you to forget? It just doesn't generally happen that way. That's why Jesus describes a second type of compassion in this passage. And the second type of compassion is when we open our heart and show compassion to someone who does not deserve it. You see, when the man who had been forgiven of the mega-million-dollar debt refuses to forgive his friend of a few thousand dollars, his master has him arrested, brought before him, jailed, and turned over to the jailers to be tormented. But listen to what the master says in verse 33. He says, "After you have been forgiven of so much, shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you?" Now, the verb for mercy in this verse, or compassion in this verse, is in the active voice. You remember your English grammar? Active voice means that it's something I have control over. It's something that I am doing, right? I am acting. That's why it's active voice. I am acting. Passive voice, you're being acted upon. Active voice. I'm giving you an English grammar lesson. Amen. So the verb here is in the active voice, meaning that the responsibility to have mercy and to forgive is on the individual who has been hurt or offended. Why did it get so quiet in here? Jesus says the responsibility to show mercy and to have compassion on a person who does not deserve it, the responsibility is ours. Active voice. Jesus is saying that we are to extend mercy regardless of the person's lack of repentance or regardless of if they fail to seek forgiveness. We are still supposed to extend forgiveness to them. We're not letting them off the hook. They still have to deal with God, right? But we are choosing to say, I'm not going to let you have power over me anymore. See, Jesus uses the word mercy here, which is really a little bit different than the word compassion. Compassion speaks of feeling something for another person, feeling what somebody else is feeling. But mercy speaks of doing good to someone who does not deserve it. In this case, Jesus uses the word mercy. The person doesn't deserve it, but you still need to extend forgiveness because it's the same way that God has shown us mercy. Amen. We didn't deserve it. We didn't deserve Jesus dying on the cross for us. Amen. We don't deserve anything that God does for us. It's all by his mercy because we are all sinners and we're constantly failing God. Amen. But God is merciful to us, and he has forgiven us of such a great debt that we ought to also show mercy to those who hurt us. Amen? It's our responsibility. Third step, release those who have hurt you. Release those who have hurt you. Look at verse 27. When his master was filled with pity for him, he released him and forgave his debt. Between showing compassion and forgiving his debt, there's that little phrase that we often overlook. He released him. Forgiveness is releasing the person who has wounded us. M.J. Thompson, in Moving Towards Forgiveness, writes this. He says, to forgive is to make a conscious choice to release the person who has wounded us from the sentence of our judgment, however justified that judgment may be. It represents a choice to leave behind our resentment and our desire for retribution, however fear such punishment may be. The person may deserve judgment. They may deserve to be treated horribly because they treated you horribly. But you know what? Forgiveness means I release that. I'm not their judge. God is their judge. I don't have to deal with their sin. God will deal with their sin if they fail to repent. Amen? That's the decision that we make by faith when we forgive. We are not negating the fact that they have hurt us, and they may have hurt us terribly. And let me say this as well, especially for those who are minors or within the limits of the law. If someone has hurt you in a criminal way, forgiveness does not mean letting them off the hook of being prosecuted criminally. Okay? That's different. That's different from our personal forgiveness. If they have hurt you in a criminal way, maybe sexually abused you or something, and it's still within that framework of the law, then they ought to be brought to justice on that. All right? Forgiveness that God is talking about is our personal releasing the hurt that has been caused to us. Are we clear on that? Amen. So we're not negating the fact that they may have hurt us. They may have done us wrong and done so terribly, but we are releasing them to God. He is the righteous judge. He can execute judgment upon them. Amen. He can deal with them a lot better than we can. So we are letting them go into God's hands and we're saying, God, I turn them over to you. You deal with them. All right. Forgiveness releases us from being bound by the wounds of our past. Thompson further writes, forgiveness means the power of the original wound to hold us trapped is broken. Did you hear that? The power of the original wound to hold us trapped is broken when we forgive. As long as we refuse to forgive, we remain bound to the person who hurt us. And we allow what they did to continue to have control over us. Have you ever met somebody that's been wounded? And they just talk about that wound over and over and over again. Well, they're in bondage because they have never walked through the process of forgiveness. And they're allowing that wound of their past to continue to have control over them in the present. You know what? You are allowing that person who hurt you 10 years or 15 or 20 years ago to keep hurting you day after day after day, and they're going about their business. And you're allowing them to keep, as long as you refuse to forgive, you're allowing them to keep hurting you again and again and again with that original wound. But when we choose to forgive, those chains that bind us to that person are broken. And the wound that caused us to have so much pain is healed. And we are freed from the hurt of our past. Amen? You want to walk in the freedom that Christ has for us. Hallelujah. So we're looking at this step by step, how we walk through that process of forgiveness. Step four, forgive the person who wounded you of every hurt and offense. When I say every hurt and offense, I mean specifically. Sometimes we make this general statement, Lord, I forgive, brother hurt me, stab me in the back. And we just do this general thing. We need to forgive of every hurt they caused. We need to forgive the specific wounds that they caused us. And Jesus explains how in verse 35. I'm reading it from the New King James on this particular instance. And in this case, I believe it's a more accurate translation of the original language. It says, so my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Jesus didn't say, if you don't forgive the person. He said, if you do not forgive your brother of his what? Trespasses. We need to release the person, but we need to forgive the trespasses, and they're plural. I heard some of you catch that a while ago. So you get an A, move to the front of the class. Amen. Trespasses, plural. Because a lot of times we have experienced multiple hurts at the hands of someone who has wounded us. Amen? They have hurt us in many different ways. And we need to walk through the process of forgiveness with each of the wounds that that person has caused us. And this is where the short circuit in forgiveness so often lies. It is why we so often say, I forgive, but we remain in bondage to unforgiveness, because we say, I forgive so-and-so, and we never pray through specifically and say, I forgive them of doing X, I forgive them of doing Y, I forgive them of doing Z. Amen? Are you following me? You're praying the specifics of how you've been hurt, naming it specifically as you release it to the Lord. As I said, that word trespasses is in plural. We cannot be completely free until we have forgiven each and every one of the wounds that that person has caused us. And some people say, well, I don't want to dig up the past. I don't want to rehash all of that. Yeah, then you're like the person in the story at the beginning that brushed off the dirt, put the Band-Aid on it, and went about their business, and it keeps getting infected and begins to spread that infection through the entire body. You see, what you have to do if you have an infected wound, you have to open that wound up and you have to clean out the infection before it can heal, right? And the same thing with our soul. We have to dig it up, so to speak, initially to open up all that woundedness that is inside so that God can clean it out so that we can begin to heal. Amen? So yes, we do need to, if we have unforgiveness in our heart, we do need to rehash the past. Not rehash it in the way of just talking about what was done to us, but specifically identifying in the Lord's presence, because he's the one that's going to free us and heal us. Specifically identifying what has been done to us, releasing it to God and asking the help of his Holy Spirit to be free from the pains of our past. So what do we need to do? We need to list the wounds and pray to release each and every one to God. I'm reminded of the story of a couple who went to their pastor because they were having some marital difficulties. And so as they were talking, the wife said, every time we get into an argument, my husband gets historical. And the pastor corrected her and he said, you mean hysterical? And she said, no, I mean historical. He brings up every wrong that I've ever done since the beginning of our relationship. And some of you might get historical as well. Amen. And that kind of record keeping is not helpful to anyone, and it's certainly not helpful to your relationships. Amen. But we need to make a list of every offense. Somebody might be saying, I'm going to run out of paper, Pastor. But you need to make a list of every offense that that person has caused you, and then pray over that list one by one and ask God to help us to release it. And when you make that list, ask God to even help you remember hurts that they've caused you that you kind of just put to the back of your mind, you've forgotten. Because you know what? You think you've forgotten it, but it's still there. Amen? So ask God to help you to remember even wounds that you may have pushed to the back of your mind that you have forgotten. And once we make that list, we need to begin to pray over it one hurt at a time. And you may have to pray more than one time over just one hurt to be able to release it. So this is a process, guys. It's not just, okay, I made my list. Here it is, Jesus. I release it to you. No. You need to pray over it one hurt at a time. And you may need to pray multiple times for that hurt until you can feel that freedom. And you will be able to feel that freedom when it comes. Amen? And you may have to go over that list several times in prayer until you're free. And you need to make that list for every person that has hurt you and you have not forgiven them. Okay? So, you know, some of you may need to get, you know, one of those jumbo notebooks that has the five sections, college ruled, and do a chapter for each person. I don't know, you know. But make a list for each person and begin praying. Just start one person at a time. Begin praying for that one and then move to the next one. We'll talk about that because that's going to be your homework assignment. Amen? You came to church for some homework because it's not enough just to hear a sermon and to say, amen, praise the Lord, yes, I'm going to forgive. We need to walk it out. We need to put it into practice. So what I'm going to ask you for your homework after we conclude our service today, you go home, you get a notebook. You list every person in that notebook that has hurt you at the top of a page, and then you begin to list the hurts that they've caused you, and then you go through a process of praying. So that's going to be your homework. Amen. Some of you, it might be a year-long process. Some, it might be a five-year-long process. Amen. Hopefully some of you have kept very short accounts and you have forgiven quickly, so you won't have very much work to do. Amen. But the more work we have to do, the more important it is that we do the work. Amen. So start now. All right, step five. Get ready. Put your seatbelt on. Bless the person who hurt you and do good towards them. Bless the person who hurt you and do good towards them. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 5:45, but I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. The ability to bless the person who hurt you is proof that forgiveness is complete. And let me tell you, so even before the forgiveness is complete, if you start praying for the person who hurt you, and I'm not talking about praying those imprecatory prayers of David in the Old Testament where he was like, oh God, break their cheekbones and crush them in the dust, you know. I'm not talking about those kinds of prayers, amen. Jesus is talking about blessing them. So, you know, because often when we're holding on forgiveness, we're waiting for that person to get their own, right? Something bad happens, we're like, they deserved it, right? And that's the evidence of the unforgiveness that's in our heart. But if we start praying and we say, God, I'm praying for so-and-so. I lift them before you. I'm praying that you bless them. I pray that you prosper them. I pray that you do good to. Let me tell you something. You can't start praying that way and keep holding all those negative feelings inside of you. Amen? So it's actually going to help you in the process of forgiveness. But when you can freely and from the heart pray for those blessings in their life, then you know that you have forgiven. Amen? Because initially, we may be praying it, but we may be doing it reluctantly, right? There was an old Dennis the Menace comic. Y'all remember Dennis the Menace? And at one point, he was sent to sit in the corner because he had misbehaved. So he was sent to sit in the corner. And the caption on the cartoon said, I'm sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. And some of us, you know, we may be praying, God bless them. But on the inside, we're saying, I don't really want you to bless them, God. I don't want you to give them what they... No, that's not the kind of prayer we're talking about, amen. But when you can really pray for them and mean it, God, I want you to bless them. I want you to do good towards them. I want you to prosper. And you actually feel that, then you know that you have forgiven them, amen? And true forgiveness will make it easy to bless the person who once hurt you. This is when you know that you've experienced God's healing in your inner being. You think about the person who hurt you, and you are no longer angry, you're no longer resentful, you no longer want them to pay for what they've done. And you can think of the offense, and it no longer has emotional control over you. Remember, in one of our previous messages in this series, we talk about the fact that forgiveness does not mean forgetting, right? Just because you forgive, it doesn't wipe your memory blank. But when you have forgiven, you can remember without the hurt, without the pain, and without the anger. Amen? So you can think of the offense, but it no longer has emotional control over you. And you find yourself caring for the other person who may be broken or far from God as you once were. At this point, when we have forgiven, the love of God is flowing through our heart because our heart is now open. Remember, that was step one, open our heart. So now the love of God is flowing through our heart because it's now open to Him. And you are now experiencing His peace and you're experiencing His joy. And that's the completion of the process of forgiveness. God wants you to experience freedom. He wants you to walk in His peace and in His joy through the completed process of forgiveness. But it starts by opening our heart up and saying, God, help me to be able to forgive. Help me to be able to forgive from my heart. And it requires showing compassion or mercy to the other person. No, they may not deserve it. They may be a rascal. They may be one step from being a demon from hell. Amen. They may not deserve it. But you know what? We didn't deserve God's mercy either. And the second step to really experiencing forgiveness is that we show mercy to the other person, realizing that we too were undeserving of God's forgiveness, but He has had mercy on us. And then release the person and release the specific hurts to God through prayer. Release the person and say, God, I put them in Your hands. You deal with them. Release the hurts and say, God, set me free so that these hurts no longer have control. And pray specifically for each hurt. Lord, let it no longer have control over me. Heal my heart from this hurt. Make a list of every person who has hurt you that you have not forgiven. Ask God to help you to remember the hurts, even the ones you've kind of repressed and stuffed to the back of your mind. Make a list and then rank the list in order, number one being the hardest person to forgive. And start with that one. Because when that domino falls, it's going to make it a lot easier to forgive all the others. Amen. Because you've probably taken the unforgiveness, the resentment and anger that you have towards that person, and it has infiltrated your other relationships, and that's why you're having problems forgiving them as well. So take a sheet of paper, take a jumbo notebook, write that person's name at the top of the list, every single wound they have caused you, whether intentional or unintentional, and then pray over that list, releasing each offense specifically to God. Until you can see that offense, you can remember that offense, and it has no emotional control over you. You don't feel angry, you don't feel hurt, you don't feel pain, you don't feel resentment. You are free. You feel the freedom. All those negative emotions are gone, like a chain that has been broken over you. And like I said, you may have to pray over that list several times and go over your list of people doing the same thing for each person. So you make a list for each person on your list, and each person one at a time, you pray for those specific hurts. Then after you've done that, start to pray blessing over those who hurt you. When you start to pray blessing and you even do good towards those that hurt you, then you can walk in the freedom and the peace that God desires for you. But the first step to healing of the wounds of our soul and to have the freedom, joy, and peace that God desires for us is to receive His forgiveness by coming in repentance before Him, repenting of our sins, and placing our faith in Him. All of us were sinners, and sin had broken our relationship with God. And we owed a debt of sin that we could not pay. There was nothing that we could do to erase the debt of our sin. But Jesus paid that debt for us so that we can be forgiven and so that we can have a relationship with Him. And so if you're here today or you're listening online and you feel the tugging of God at your heart to come to Him and repent of your sins and place your faith in Him as your Savior. Maybe you did this years ago and you've drifted away. Maybe you've never done it and this is the first time, but you feel something pulling at you and you're saying, I want God to forgive me. I want to have a relationship with God. If that's you, would you pray this simple prayer with me? Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. And I believe that you love me so much that you died for my sins. Today, I place my faith in you as my Savior. And I repent. I turn away from my sin. I ask you to forgive me. And I turn to you in faith. I invite you to come live inside of me and help me from this day forward to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it, God has done exactly what you asked Him to do. And this day is your spiritual birthday. You have been born again. You've been made spiritually alive, brought into relationship with God as His son or daughter. And this is a start. It is the beginning of a lifelong relationship with God. And we want to help you to grow in that relationship with God. So we want to send you free of charge a little e-booklet that will help you to understand the prayer you just prayed and also the next steps to take to continue growing in your relationship with God. So in order to send that book to you, we would ask you that you would just text I prayed to the number on the screen. Or if you're online, just type I prayed in the comments. And a little later today, you're going to get a response message with a link. Click that link. Fill in your name and email address so that we can email this little booklet to you free of charge. But we want to say to you this morning, if you prayed that prayer, congratulations. Amen. You just made the best decision of your life. And we welcome you to the family of God. And we want to encourage you, along with every Christian, to do three things regularly that will help you to grow in your relationship with God. One, talk to God every day. He's our Heavenly Father. You are His child. He wants to hear from you every day. Amen. He wants to talk to you every day. So how do we talk to God? You don't need any special language. Start by thanking Him for the good things in your life, because every good thing, every blessing comes from Him. And then talk to Him about whatever challenges, difficulties, problems, or needs you have, and ask His help. At a very basic level, that's prayer. Just talk to God every day. Secondly, let God talk to you every day. The number one way He talks to us is through the Bible. That's His word, His message to us. If you don't have a Bible, I encourage you to download the YouVersion app on your phone or tablet. It is free. There's never a charge to read the Bible there. And I encourage you to download it and start reading in 1 John. It's a little booklet in the New Testament that tells us who Jesus is and what He's done for us that will help you understand what you just did when you prayed. And I encourage you just to pray a few verses every day before you pray. Ask God to help you understand what you're reading. And whatever you understand, then ask God in prayer to help you apply it to your life. Maybe He's calling you to believe something. Maybe He's calling you to change in some area of your life. Maybe He's calling you to obey Him in some way. Ask His help to be able to put in practice whatever it is that He's speaking you from that passage. The third thing we need to do regularly is that we need to find a Bible teaching church. And we need to get connected in that church, not just attending services, but building relationships there. Because the church is one of God's means in our life to help us grow spiritually. And it's through the relationships that we build in the church, along with the preaching and teaching of God's word, that we grow spiritually. And so I want to encourage you to find a local Assembly of God church. If you're here in South Florida, then of course, we welcome you to our New Life family. We have a wonderful church family that will pray with you, walk alongside of you, and help you grow in your relationship with God. If you're outside of the South Florida area, I encourage you to find an Assembly of God church near to you. Put down roots, and you will start to grow in your relationship with God. But once again, congratulations and welcome to the family of God. For those of us who have already placed our faith in Christ, I want to ask you, Who do you need to forgive? Who do you need to release into God's hands? And what hurts do you need to let go of and be healed from? Jesus is calling us to forgive everyone who has hurt us of everything they've done to us. And then we will be free and we will experience His peace and His fullness of joy. But it starts with opening our heart to forgive, identifying those we need to forgive, and praying specifically to release every hurt that has been caused to us. I know it's hard, but with God's help, it is possible, because God will never call us to do something that He'll not also enable us to do. Amen. So if you need to forgive someone, if you want to be set free, I want to ask you to stand and I want to ask you to come to this altar just as a place of meeting with God. Would you just do that right now? You need to forgive someone. Just slip out from where you are. There's no reason to be embarrassed or ashamed. You know what? We all at times need to forgive somebody. So if you need to forgive somebody, would you just slip out and come? Don't be ashamed. Don't be embarrassed. Amen. Just slip out. Thank you for coming. Thank you. Anyone else, just slip out and come. Hallelujah. And let's just ask God, Lord, help me to open my heart to forgive. Help me to identify every person I need to forgive. Help me, Lord God, to remember every offense that I need to forgive. Help me to let it go to You, Lord. Hallelujah. You that are at home, if you need to forgive, stand right where you are. You that are at this altar, talk to Jesus from your heart right now. Heavenly Father, I thank You for these that have stood, that have come forward, those that are standing at home as well, Lord God, as they've heard this message. Father, as we stand before You right now, we know that our spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We know that it is difficult for us, Lord God, to forgive in our flesh. But we come before Your presence right now and we say, Lord, help us. Help us to open our heart to be willing to forgive from the heart, Lord God, not just with our mind. Help us today, Lord God, to release those who have hurt us and to release every offense that has been caused against us, Lord God. Father, we pray today that we will be able, by the power of Your Holy Spirit, to let go of the hurts of our past so that You can set us free, Lord God. So that our hearts can be healed and we can walk in the wholeness that You have for us, so that we can enjoy Your peace, so that we can walk in Your joy, Lord God. And Father, I pray that even after this service is ended and we go our way, Lord God, that we would continue to walk through this process of forgiveness in our homes, that we would take that notebook and we would make that list, and that we would pray daily until we have been completely set free in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank You for that. And I pray for all of us, Lord, who in this moment may not need to forgive. But Lord, You said that the opportunity for offense is many. So I pray that we would walk, Lord God, in the truth of Jesus' teaching. And that You would help us by the Holy Spirit to keep very short accounts with people, so that we would all learn to forgive everyone of everything all the time. So that we can walk in the freedom with which You have set us free, and so that we can enjoy Your peace and the fullness of Your joy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. If you are blessed by this message, would you consider giving a gift to help support our ministry? You can text any amount to 954-516-1522. Thank you so much, and we hope you will join us again. God bless you.